This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yesterday, the Sun carried a headline story on the growing rift in the Malaysian Indian Congress, or MIC. It's been a story in the back pages, but as the conflict in the party comes to a head, the party, long in the shadows, is taking the spotlight. BFM's Azif Azuddin speaks to Neela Mahan Manikam, an independent political observer based at University Putra, Malaysia. He explains the state of play of the MIC crisis.
There was some alleged irregularities the way the party election was conducted in November 2013. And of course, people complained to ROS, and finally ROS made visits, discussion, fact-finding. And on December 5th, they came up with the letter which nullified the election for the three vice presidents, as well as the 23 central working committee. And they gave grace period so that MIC can conduct fresh polls within 90 minutes, failing which the party may be deregistered.
There seems to be factions growing within the MIC. Could you maybe illustrate these factions?
So I think the whole thing started even before 2013 November election, because there was a two section, I would rather put it. One is representing Dato' Sri as Palaniwal, as well as the other side will be Dato' Sri Dr. S. Subramaniam. And because there was a lot of pressure on Dr. Subra to take on the presidents for the elections, but somehow there was a gentleman agreement which intervened by the Prime Minister himself. But all things didn't turn out to be well, because the factions still continues. Also, so the subsequent appointment of the top post were filled by the president's men, and many of the members were not happy with it. Plus, the two candidates who lost in the vice president post, they were extremely unhappy about the way that the election was conducted, and they wanted some re-election. So that, again, putting a lot of pressure on the presidents. And finally, I think a couple of days ago, the president even replaced the important post of secretary general with another gentleman. That creates another issue among the members. So it looks like there is no actions and initiative for reconciliations. The party is even more divided now.
And why is that?
Often the incumbent, the person that's holding the post, he or she would like to strengthen himself or herself. And the only way is that to hold the power and centralize the power within himself. I think that's what it is. But I think in general public, there is the dissatisfaction about the MIC members. Many of them are not happy, not because of who the president is, but the lack of actions, lack of empowerment, as well as lack of directions the party is going now. So they wanted a firm leadership. I think if you ask me in terms of leadership, my simple statement will be, you are a leader, show up and own up and show directions, share your visions with them. That is lacking in MIC. So right now MIC spending more time fighting within themselves than preparing them for the next election.
How would you characterize G. Palaniwal's style of leadership compared to the previous president, Samivelu?
I think it's quite unfair to compare two gentlemen, probably in a two different era, as well as their personalities are completely different. But coming from the leadership viewpoint, I would take one of the very important quotes in leadership by Max Debray. He said that the number one responsibility of a leader is to define reality. In this case, is to communicate and explain the current state of affairs and the realities to the followers and stakeholders. The moment that you define the reality, what you're supposed to do is that then you have to inspire the followers with a positive vision of a future and influence them to follow your vision and empower them to own it up. So that is lacking. So the current president, Palaniwal, yet to tell what is the direction that the party is taking, as well as what is the future that is planning for the society. And he's not communicating. The silence is really, really killing, because nobody is getting any information what is happening. And that, I would say, bad for the party.
So evidently the survival of AMIC is at stake. One reason why they lost during the 2008 general elections was because the rise of Hindraf. And Hindraf brought Indian community issues to the fore. Now, what is the end game for MIC?
I think the emergence of Hindraf was not really a strong factor in 2013. It was in 2008. That's when the Hindraf took the champion's role for the Indians and people followed. And there was a current at that point of time that swept across. And obviously, the Barisan National Coalition parties didn't do well. In 2013, I think the support for the Indians were slightly better compared to 2008. But the point that must be noted is the support for the Barisan National by the Indians is not due to the factor of MIC, but due to the factor of Barisan National itself. And of course, led by Mr. Prime Minister himself, that he communicated directly with the community leaders and he ensured that the government will take care of the Indians. So the trust and the hope that the Indians had on MIC in 2008 and 2013, I don't think there is a much difference. However, lately, there are so many emergence of other alternate parties as well as the NGOs. If the current state of MIC continues, I think people one day will say enough is enough. I don't think MIC plays any significant role to protect and safeguard our interests, and they may want to choose alternatives.
Can the MIC be considered still a dynamic force within the Barisan coalition?
With the current state of MIC, I think MIC more like a problematic party within the Barisan National rather than a strategic partner. I don't think the Prime Minister want MIC to continue their squabble among themselves, which is already eroding the support of the general public. You see, Indians may be the minorities, but they play major role as a whole group in the general elections. And the Prime Minister want to win over the Indians, and he wanted to make sure that, if possible, at least 80% of the Indians are supporting Barisan National. I'm worried that the hatred for MIC or lack of support for MIC generally may lead into lack of support for Barisan National. In that context, I won't be surprised if Barisan National may take a very strong stand asking MIC to put the house in order as soon as possible, because the longer the issue is going on, the 14th generation is coming in a couple of years now, and I don't think Barisan National wanted to deal with the problem right now.
Are the concerns and anxieties of the Indian community, are they being met?
In a general term, I would say no, because probably the Indian community in Malaysia could be one of the few communities in the world, with being a minority but represented by so many number of registered political parties. And I don't know how they can actually serve the interests of the community when they don't have any political clout, or there is no strength in unity as far as the Indian parties are concerned. They themselves, in a big time, they are completely divided. In many cases, their situation right now is not supported by the national level politics as well. Right now, what the MIC should do is about manage this crisis well. I think there are a lot of literatures as well as the guidance available. Rudy Giuliani showed what a leader is supposed to be in 9/11 by made himself so visible, as well as his response. In a recent time, I think since 28 December, Tan Sri Tony Fernandez is showing the world what a crisis management is supposed to be. It's all about communication, compassion and commitment to solve the problem. The lack of these actions by the current leadership is really, really making MIC as a laughing stock.
That was Neela Mahan Manikam, an independent political observer at University Putra, Malaysia. Just to issue some corrections, he actually misspoke when he said 90 minutes to submit or meet with the IRS over the question of irregularities, because that was 90 days. 90 minutes would be extraordinarily short time in order to respond to those concerns. Also, important to note that in 2013, the Hindraf chief, Wetha Modi, was actually brought into cabinet. So Hindraf did play a role in 2013, especially the pre-vote pact that was made. He signed something. Of course, what we know is Wetha Modi has since left cabinet, disgruntled with the way in which the government has dealt with the Indian agenda. I'm Sharad Kutan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.